When we're singing, I have a unique advantage in that I know what I'm going to speak about and the passage to which I will direct your attention. And that, by the way, is 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1. So that as we sing and I hear the words of the songs and sing them with you, I can note at various places a connection between what we express and worship to God through song with what we will be studying together. And all three of these songs led by Will tonight have a connection with this first chapter of 1 Peter, where we sang about Jesus, our Savior, a wonderful Savior, and we sang about the holiness of God, and we sang about heaven. And all three of those themes are mentioned in this first chapter of the Apostle Peter. In the Scriptures, as well as in the singing of the truths of the Scriptures, our minds are lifted up. We're led to think about the highest and most important things that one could consider, things that are eternal, things that are of everlasting importance to our lives. This gives us perspective as Christians that can only be possessed in the minds of those who are attentive to the gospel truths. And we're thankful for that. Not that it gives us a sense of self-exaltation, makes us think we're better than other people, but it does remind us that we are different. As Peter said in this letter, that we are a people that have been set apart for God as his household, and that we have a peculiar mission in this life that belongs only to the church, those who compose God's living house. And so we are looking at this first chapter, and we notice that, for instance, it calls our attention to things that are imperishable, or as it is in some translations, things that are incorruptible. Chapter 1 and verse 4 speaks about the inheritance that is incorruptible or imperishable, and that is undefiled and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. And we sang about heaven tonight. And then he speaks about a contrast between things that are corruptible, that is perishable in verse 18, and something that is not. And so our redemption is not like the redemption of slaves in the Roman Empire, for which there would be an expenditure of silver or gold or whatever may be traded in order to liberate a slave. But we have our redemption by the precious blood of Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 25, there's mention, or rather verse 24, there's mention made about the fact that Jesus bore our sins in his body upon the tree. And so there is the mention of his blood in chapter 1 and verse 19, and his body in that suffering in chapter 2 and verse 24. The sufferings of Christ are referred to in one way or another in every chapter of this letter. It was something that Peter wanted to have before his readers, members of the church and these congregations in Asia Minor, and wanted to keep that on their minds as they studied this letter together, to remember the cross of Jesus, his sacrifice. So here was an imperishable expenditure. Why is it imperishable? Because it has everlasting significance. This is what God had foreordained for the foundation of the world. Chapter 1 and verse 20. Christ is a sacrifice for us as our redemption was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of the times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope might be in God. So then we have that which is imperishable, the imperishable gospel of our salvation through the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection from the dead. And then we have another thing that's incorruptible and imperishable, and that is the living and abiding word of God, chapter 1, verse 23. So Peter is drawing our attention in this chapter to things that are everlasting, and our lives are connected with these everlasting things that have to do with God's work through Jesus Christ on our behalf. The last section of that chapter, the last verses 22 through 25, is where we study in particular tonight. And so he can speak to these who are Christians, and he says that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. For unfeigned, that is sincere, unhypocritical love of the brethren. That being the case then, love one another from the heart fervently. The King James translation mentions do this from a pure heart, because there are some ancient manuscripts that have the word here of purity or cleanness of heart. But whether that's a part of the text or not, it certainly is a part of the truth of the gospel that we have been purified, and therefore from pure hearts, clean hearts, we can love one another earnestly. That's the main thing that Peter's urging here, a fervent love in our fellowship one with another that is unhypocritical, sincere. Having been begotten again, in chapter 1 and verse 3, he said that we have been begotten again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now he tells us that this power that has brought us into this new life is to be found in the Word of God that is imperishable. It's a living and abiding Word. That's not a corruptible seed that's brought about this life. A corruptible seed would bring about a life that is perishable. But this is incorruptible. It's the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You remember that Jesus one time said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. The word of Jesus is the word of God. It does not pass away. And then he cites here a passage from Isaiah chapter 40, as you see in 1 Peter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, fades and it falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And what is this word? He identifies it as the word of the gospel, this word of good tidings which was preached to you. So the chapter closes with that point being made again, because he has mentioned it before. Speaking about salvation in this chapter, he says that the prophets aforetime, the times past, had spoken about this grace of God that was to come to us, chapter 1 and verse 10. And they themselves were very interested in this God word that God gave them, this prophecy about the grace of God that would come to us. It has to do with the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow those sufferings. And to the prophets, it was revealed, verse 12, that they were ministering things not for themselves, but for you, said Peter, that it was for things, for people in a time to come. Well, that involves you and me, because we're beneficiaries of this. We are in the age of this fulfillment of what the prophets had foretold by the Holy Spirit. And how is it that we can know these things? Because they were preached, says Peter. Preached by those who preached by the Holy Spirit, this gospel, the Holy Spirit that came to them from heaven, guided them in the preaching of these things that have been announced to you, says Peter. And he shows the interest of all of heaven in this. There's the interest of God, the Holy Spirit, of Jesus Christ, and the prophets who were guided by the Holy Spirit, these early preachers guided by the Holy Spirit, even angels, he said, desire to look into this. All of heaven, then, therefore, has been interested in the salvation of your soul and my soul. We have, by the power of this word of the gospel, been brought into a new life with a living hope by a word that has been identified as living and abiding. It cannot, therefore, grow old and weak and diminish in its power. You may say that this lesson is somewhat of an extension of what we emphasized this morning about the value and the power of God's word. And if you say that, you would be saying what is true. Because Peter is writing to people whose confidence in what he's saying about their salvation and these things imperishable was based upon the gospel, not upon their feelings about it, not upon their ups and downs of emotionals, feelings, and not upon their speculations, but rather it was based upon God's word. Notice what he says about the power of God's word to achieve certain things in their lives in this last part of the chapter, to which I call your attention, verses 22 through 25. It is by the word of God that we're brought into a new life. You were begotten again, he says. They left the old life spiritually, and they have a new life that ought to be true of every one of us who has been obedient to the gospel. So that when the life we now live is no longer characterized by those thoughts and ways and words that characterize a world that is yet lost in sin, but is a life that is guided by this powerful word that's brought us into a new life. Second, it brought us into a fellowship. Notice that we have been brought into a fellowship of sincere love for one another, and in that we have a responsibility of loving each other. How was that accomplished? By this truth to which we were obedient. Then a third thing that has been accomplished by this word is that in obeying this truth of the gospel which was preached to us, we purified our souls. Our lives were characterized by sin, cause of which we were lost and alienated from God. But in obeying the truth of the gospel, this living and abiding word, our souls become purified from that. We find forgiveness. And as long as we continue in this response to God's living and abiding word, which is the source of our life spiritually and our fellowship, we continue to enjoy the blessings of this purification. As we spoke of this morning, citing the words of the Apostle John, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Peter's talking about that fellowship right here, fellowship of love. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So then we look at this passage and we have reason to give thanks to God that he has brought into our minds the understanding of imperishable, incorruptible things, that our faith and our life and our hope are based on things that cannot pass away by their very nature, because these are the things of God and what he's accomplished for us through Jesus Christ. We would that every person here would have such confidence, such faith, and such hope. And we invite you to respond to the gospel tonight, to do what Peter said these people did, to obey the truth and receive this blessing from God. Let us stand and sing.
I hear the Savior say, I